Going on to item four, which is discussion and possible action of the report from the technical consultant. I believe we are starting with Ryan today.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Go to the next slide. We're mostly just focusing on finalizing the selection of the performance of FMEs for CN5B, but I'll just give you a brief update as well of things that have happened since the last meeting. We did get a notice from the Tech Support Development Board that the tech memo is administratively complete, but they are still doing the review, so we're waiting for comments back from y'all on that. Task 5A, at the same time, we got the notice to go ahead and proceed with Task 5A. So this is, if you'll recall, we selected or identified FMXs to be included into the regional flood plan. We are now finalizing our evaluation, and we're going to present them to y'all to make recommendations on which one should and should not be included in the final regional flood plan. So we are we have not started on this yet, but we are getting started on this, and we'll bring that back next meeting that we have for y'all to make some preliminary decisions and have some discussion on that. We are still working on draft chapters for 2 and 3. We will bring those back to y'all. Next meeting, I'll give you all a month ahead of that meeting to review them and provide any comments on those. Again, these are not final. These are just draft for y'all to review while it's fresh on everyone's mind. And then one thing that is not noted on there is that the Fort Bend County Drainage District invited me to present to their levee districts. So I did a brief presentation to the levee districts down there to give them all an update on regional flood planning, where we're at and where we're going. So this is a schedule update. So you can see we're here in the beginning of March. We'll probably have our meetings throughout this year every other month. So just keep that in mind. So we'll be meeting again in May, if that's what y'all just decide. So between now and May, we have to provide the Texas Water Development Board the full list of FMEs that we want to perform, both as a regional flood planning technical consultant, but also the full list of FMEs that need to perform by the development board and their consultant. So that's what we're voting on today, because we need to get that to them before our next meeting. And then, there's a few minor things that happen later, but those are the key things we're focusing on now is Task 4C and 5B. Now you can go. And then you can, main point of discussion is performance of FMEs. I'm not going to go over these in quite a big detail. It's just a reminder for y'all. Again, RPG is performing some FMEs for non-rural areas with a budget of $575,000. And then Texas Water Development Board is performing FMEs with a budget of around $4 million for more rural underserved areas. They have selected Edge Engineering as a consultant. I'm assuming that they're going to come and introduce themselves at some point.
I think so.
Probably maybe the next meeting. I can always coordinate that with them as well. But so we'll introduce them to y'all. But they'll be getting kickstarted on that this year to at least begin the first two studies. And y'all have already, you can go to the next slide. Y'all have already selected the FMEs that we're presenting, but we had to make some minor changes. So I just wanted to make sure that y'all make the final selection on these so we get everything squared away before we submit to the development board. So the first one is the RPG FMEs. So these are the non-rural or more urban FMEs. We have brought these before. And we selected the top three for y'all to vote on to complete. Again, we'll be performing these FMEs. City of Waco is the top ranked one. This is Barron's Branch Creek. The second one is City of Belton, Turtle Creek. And the third one is City of College Station. And I broke these in a little bit more detail in the following slides. 4 and 5, we have not. You can see estimated costs. We updated those based off our own labor estimates. So those are a little bit more refined. And you can see the running total cost is $508,000, which is less than our budgeted $575,000. So what we want to do is just vote on these first three. And then as we are performing these FMEs, we're going to reach out to City of Bryan and City of Killeen and kind of go down the list and see if there's any other FMEs that we have the potential to perform in case we don't use up all the money. We can come back and vote on those at a later date. We just want to get these first three selected so we can get started on those. And then if we have budget allowance, then we'll bring in more at subsequent meetings. So that's kind of my plan. So I went through each one of these in a little bit more detail. If you could go to the next slide. Barron's Branch Creek Improvements. This is with the city of Waco. They've been heavily involved, a lot of coordination. They have a new floodplain administrator in the city. So it took a little bit of time to get him up to speed. But they're up to speed. They're really excited to get the study done. They actually have completed a study in this area, but the projects that were developed are not ready to be submitted to the regional floodplain. They're just not up to the standard that we need. And so we gave the city of Waco an option to go do another FME since they're ranking so high. They had another FME that they could have performed, and they chose to go ahead and just finish this study out. So we're taking the study that was recently completed and updating it and making sure it has all the latest data, rainfall, LIDAR, all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to relook at the projects and really refine them and make them suitable for inclusion into the regional flood plan. So that's the goal and plan with this one. It's both riverine and urban flood risk. So Barron's Creek, you can see on the downstream side, it's an open channel needs improvement. And then on the upstream side, it's all enclosed. And we're going to be modeling all of it. We're going to be modeling the bigger storm sewer lines and the closed trunk line for Barron's Branch, and then all the way down to the Brazos River. So that's number one. Number two is Turtle Creek, City of Belton. We've had a couple of meetings with them. A similar situation. They have done a study, but it was pretty limited to just a small portion of Turtle Creek. And the project that was developed is not ready to be included into the regional flood plan. They really would like us to look at that modeling, get it up to date with the latest data, and develop a regional flood mitigation project in this area that can qualify for inclusion into the regional flood plan. And then the next one, finally, is FME 3. This is Bee Creek. This is, again, a slightly similar situation. They have done a model, but it was done like 10 years ago. Roughly, they want us, and this is actually kind of a hot spot for the City of Colorado Station, a lot of drainage complaints from their constituents and residents in the area. They want the model to be updated to be 2D modeling with Atlas 14 rainfall, latest LIDAR, latest land use, get that all up to speed, and then relook at some of the existing projects that were developed 10 years ago and refine them, update them, and even maybe create a new project based off of the flood risk that we see here. So again, updating existing models and developing a project. So that's number three. So if you go to the next slide, what we need is just to really make sure we're firm that y'all vote to approve the technical consultant to perform the first three FMEs.
Is there any questions for Ryan and the team? Sujith.
Ryan, can you go back on number one, please? The City of Waco project?
Yeah.
I assume this is more than one square mile, correct?
Yeah.
And the second thing is, you mentioned about modeling the storm sewers and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Why are we modeling the storm sewers?
The previous study that was done, they modeled storm sewer that was larger than 24 inches, I think. And so that data is already there. We're just going to update the modeling. So that's reason number one. And reason two is a significant portion of this watershed are large diameter storm sewer lines. And part of the project that was initially recommended that needs to be finished out is upsizing a lot of the storm sewer. So it's going to be one big regional storm sewer project on the upstream side, and then finish out and clean up the creek on the downstream side. So that's the reason why. One is the modeling's there. Two, storm sewer is going to be a critical component of getting flood reduction in this area.
And I think, you know, based on what I've read this and you talked about it, there's a previous models or something. If it is a storm sewer model, there won't be much of a change, you know. If it was a riverine, I won't have any issue, but the storm sewers, I'm very, very skeptical. because we'll be getting into a smaller stuff. It may be taking out floodplain information or something. I don't like to restudy the same thing being restudied right there. If it is a project right there, they identified and it meets the constraints, let's put it into the fifth. But I would rather use your limited dollar amount for a bigger watershed or some sort of a stuff where we can see more value for the regional purpose right there. That's me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think on this one, I discussed with Ryan a little bit before the meeting, you know, you have like the upper part of the creek that is now pipe contained in very large pipes. So think of it more like culverts, right? And so the head pressure coming out of that and sort of optimizing that, it's nice that they already have the storm sewer modeled so that you can optimize that. So then when you release this into the open channel condition, you can have a more realistic model. So it meets our criteria and it ranked, you know, number one according to the group criteria. So I'm comfortable with the way it is, but I think we have another question too with Mark, if you want to add on. Are you asking about?
No, I just wanted to question. I know he said the Bee Creek over in College Station, they had a number of drainage complaints and drainage problems. I just wanted to update and refresh my memory. What were the prevailing factors that caused these first two to score so well in our system?
The first two?
He's made the FME1 and FME2. Why did they? Because you emphasized that Bee Creek had these complaints. Like, what were the criteria that why did 1 and 2 rank before Bee Creek? So I think just refreshing everybody of what our criteria is.
Yeah, and not so much why did they go before Bee Creek. I just want to know what issues they're having that justified us to do a study here, because I'm sure all communities have some type of drainage problem they'd like to have investigated.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we went pretty objectively on it based off of our flood quote. With our flood quote, we quantified flood risk and we weighted that 75%, if you recall. So we identified City of Waco and City of Belton and City of College Station as having high flood risk. And we looked at the availability of existing models and mapping. And we also looked at growth potential in those areas. So those were the three main factors of how we selected these. And City of College Station just happened to jump up there, a number three. And then after we talked to the city, that's when they had said, yes, this is actually a problem area for us. There's been a lot of complaints. So we didn't use their complaints as a reason for selecting it. It just happened to be that our selection coincided with their problem. So that makes sense.
Brian, let me try to restate that again, make sure I understand. So essentially we set aside rural because that's what the state's doing.
Right.
And then we looked at the areas with the greatest flood risk en masse throughout the whole Lower Brazos, correct?
Right.
And then we overlaid with that where do we have the best available data? Because again, the goal is to get to projects, not to like just update maps. So then we overlaid with that where we had good data to maybe start that we could get to an endpoint of projects. Yes. And then with that, where there's additional threat from growth, is that sort of the order of things?
We looked at areas that we thought the mapping was out of date or the modeling was out of date, and those ranked higher. So we weighted that 25%. So we did 75% flood risk, 25% map gap or insufficient data. So that when we do these models, we're getting the best, latest data, hydraulic information, and we're addressing their flood risk. So if y'all recall, like the I-35 corridor, like from it's really Georgetown up to City of Waco, they had high flood risk and really poor mapping. So I think Belton and Waco ranked high there. And then Bryan College Station, they have some modeling, but it's out of date. It's not up to par with Atlas 14, LIDAR, and all that kind of stuff. And so they ranked higher for that reason too. But
Mark, does that answer your question?
Yes, that's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Bryan? Okay, and so you were looking to do this as a separate, we'll do these as separate motions?
You can do it as a single motion for the first three.
For the first three,
Yeah.
Okay, does anybody want to make a motion for adopting the FMEs for the Consultants Task Force C?
This is Christina, so moved.
I've got a motion for Christina to adopt the three FMEs for Task Force C as presented. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Mark Vogler.
I got Mark Vogler for a second. Thank you, Mark. All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. All right, Ryan.
Thanks, everyone. We're going to get started on those immediately. So next time we'll give all progress as we meet every time we meet. So the next one is the rural FMEs at the Texas Board Development Board, and their consultant will be performing on behalf of the RFPG. As this is the list that we presented last time to y'all. Again, we have a budget of $3.9 million to perform these studies over the next 5 years. The first two will be performed this year and get rolled into this regional flood plan. The others will, you know, continue on over the 5 years to be completed, but they'll get rolled into the next regional flood plan. So we identified 16 FMEs in rural areas based off of criteria that we've discussed before. Again, this is listed before. One of the things we did is we went back through the cost and estimated the cost that it would take for the consultants to do these. My understanding is that these costs will actually get potentially renegotiated between the development board and NOLS consultant.
Within reason, we're trying to keep within y'all's budget, but there might be some reasonable exceptions.
Yeah, I think we tried to be a little bit on the high side. We didn't want to make it seem like we were just cheaping out and not really budgeting appropriately. Oh, it could be like a dollar.
We have coupons.
So it's kind of under the assumption that y'all could potentially negotiate them down. I don't know, but we tried our best to like estimate. It's just hard to know what the other consultants want to put on the assessment. So we updated the estimated costs, and then we did reach out to each of these sponsors, email, phone call, voicemail, and we had that on that last column there. We had several respond yes, they're interested. At first, there was a little bit of skepticism, I think, because we were emailing them saying and calling them saying we want to do the study for y'all for free. And so it kind of sounded like a scam. So we had to like convince them that, no, we're legitimate. Here's our websites. Here's our contact information. So just kind of keep that in mind whenever you see some of the no's. That's kind of the initial response we got. So the city of Mart is an example. They have not responded to us after phone call and reaching out to them. And then down 11, 13, 14, those are smaller studies. I want to talk about those and maybe isolate those for further discussion. And the same thing with City of West. At the bottom, we have not gotten response from them. I do have a recommendation on how we can approach the no's. I think what we could potentially do is still include them in the list of FMEs to be performed, but potentially put them at the bottom of the list because they haven't given us feedback. And the state will go through this list and they will reach out to them. The consultant will reach out to them saying we want to perform the study. But because they have not really been engaging with us, we can put them at the list. And if there's a budget remaining, then we'll perform those FMEs. If not, well, they're at the bottom of the list and we just didn't have the resources to get down to them. That's kind of what my thinking is on the two no's. The three that are highlighted, 11, 13, 14, I want to have more discussion on those on whether y'all want to do these or not.
Well, Tressa, what is our ability going to be? Like if we have, he kind of cut the list off when we sort of ran out of budget. Mm-hmm. But, and I think we'll have a discussion and it's likely that many of those no's are going to turn to yeses. But if we really had some no's and there's money left on the table, will y'all come back to us and give us the opportunity to add to the list?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this is a 5-year period, but it's like kind of in the midpoint of the cycles. So we'll have to cross that bridge when we get to it. Like, would that require an amendment to the 2028 plans or would it just be a vote? I'm not sure. But the answer is yes, it's your money for that 5-year period. So
so one way or another, whether these people drop off or Edge is hyper efficient in how they do it,
right,
that money is sort of reserved for us. So we'll have a way to go back at it.
Yeah. And if there's somebody that we need, decides no, that they're a yes and no, we would just skip to the next one. So that's just kind of how it's going to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I and we can say yes to all these, and then as y'all go through them, y'all, and they say no, you know, I'll skip over them. I think it was just I think we all just want to know, like, are these still viable and are they still interested?
Yeah. And so the reality is you didn't get any no's. I think that's what we wanted to make sure.
We got yeses or ghosts.
Right.
And that's a different answer than that's not a project we no longer want to pursue. So we probably need to change that thing to make it clear. Because one of the things we had talked about, and this is, I mean, when I had brought this up, Christina, you know, being a city person too, a lot of nodding of like, sometimes things exist in some plan that nobody wants to do anymore. And so if that was the thing and somebody told us, no, don't do that, then that's a no, we'll remove it. A non-responsive is a different animal. And I got, you know, some virtual hands going up. So let me go ahead and go to Christina real quick.
Yeah. And this is just part of my ignorance. When you were reaching out to them, did you have a letter from us or the Water Development Board, or were you cold calling these particular entities? Because I know, like, for us, that makes a difference, showing I can go research and know that that's a legit group, and that it may be hard to connect the dots to say that you're our representative and our consultant reaching out to them. And so that might also make it hard. It might be better too, like if we go and offer to give their council a brief to say, hey, this is the program, this is why we want you to participate, especially based off of some of these dollar values. Anything over $100,000, even though it's considered a grant and in-kind service, is going to require council approval. Just yeah. My two cents.
Yeah, so we reached out to them via email and phone call. We indicated that we were representing the regional flood planning group. We provided our credentials, both our consulting, private consulting firm website, but also our RFPG website and the development board website. We also provided them the FAQ that the development board has provided about what this is all about, so they had multiple ways to vet us that we're not scammers, that we're legitimate.
But Christina's right, though. Something on letterhead goes a long way, yeah. Right? And we have a new logo. We've got letterhead.
Well, so the Development Board FAQ had a letterhead?
Right, but like you could download that off of the 8,000 things that the Water Development Board has, right? So every consultant is chasing people right now going, hey, I can help get you in the fifth. Mm-hmm. So I think we can put something from the Lower Brazos letterhead to go, this is our consultant, they work on behalf of us in the dish, and that's something that, you know, at the chair I can sign or whatever, and then reference. The other problem that's going to get messy in this, and I know at some point Lee's going to want to chime in as the little city rep, like, we just told them, trust me, I'm the people you need to talk to, and now we're like, except we're not, because the Water Development Board has chosen Edge, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're going to take another step backwards and add confusion to the process. So we really want to think how that next reach out goes, because we do not want to badger them to talk to half, except they're really not going to deal with half, right? So
I tried to figure it out. I was like, I'm not really asking anything other than that you're interested and that we'll reach back out to you with more stuff.
It may help too by putting a city person on there that they can talk to, or their representative on the board if they're big or small. Because they're more apt to pick up the phone and call a peer than they are to just trust.
Yeah. Thank you, Christina.
Yeah. And these are not official responses, right? So the first two, we did get official responses. That's what was required for the first two. The rest of the list, we'll have to get official responses from them later. But right now, it's just really just making sure it's of interest to them. So it's up to y'all how y'all feed. Y'all can approve these. No issue. I just wanted to let y'all know what the feedback was and, you know, that we got from the communities.
Sujith?
Yes, Alicia. I think this is more a general question right there. When we talk about the Water Development Board budget of $3.9 million, is it for the 5 years? And annually we have only $600,000?
No, you have $3.9 million for all of it. And then we had to select the top two for them to complete this year, and we estimated the budget to complete those top two.
So can they complete all of them this year, or maybe later on, or if, in order to get be included in 2028? What's the plan right there? Is it going to be in the future plans other than the two? The rest 12 of them will be in the future plans?
Right. I would think unless the pace really allows them to finish a couple in time, you know, and I don't know, you know, if the plan that we're working on now, maybe someone will just miss the finish line and there's an amendment to that plan where some of those are dragged back and then the guys at the bottom of the list really are forward. But the idea is, regardless, this is essentially like they got awarded a fifth grant and they are moving forward. So they got to skip a step to do this. So this is definitely sort of speeding up sort of that process. Do I have any other voting members? I see a hand from a non-voting member. Go ahead, Sujith. Sorry.
Well, one last question. I think, you know, the no's right there, if we don't have any response, put them on the bottom and bring up the yeses up so at least we can move on.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to vote on anything yet because I want to talk about the three that are highlighted, but I don't know if you wanted to.
And just a quick point. So we're going to get the first two started right now. When we get to those next FMEs on the list, the FME consultants or our TWDB consultants will reach back out to those communities. So that might help.
Yeah.
I don't know if that changes things on where you
can do official place them, and really press them at that point. So
I think so. I mean, like I want to be cautious of a non-response is just not the same as a no response.
Well, and I mean, some of these, if they don't get to them for 4 years,
exactly.
It doesn't matter. They're going to forget. Yes, and right now.
And that's about as good as the yeses too, because if you get to somebody in 4 years, they're going to be like, yeah, we did that 2 years ago. So
again, I think the exercise was just make sure that these are all legitimate, that we're not wasting our time on putting them on this list, that they're still interested. And there's some feedback.
Yeah, and so we'll talk about the three that you have highlighted, but I think, and then here kind of Tressa's point, like we clearly have enough on that list to get everybody going, get what we need to do. There's no doubt one reason or another we're going to get to the end of this cycle, and there's probably going to be some money that needs to be reallocated, and the group will get another shot at that. And as we make momentum, and as a couple of these are done, and they can be like, see, this is what happened for Hillsborough, yay! Like people will start getting it and buying it. It's just like nobody wanted to be in the plan until really when they went to go get the fifth money and they're like, sorry, you're not in the plan. Like, oh, now I get it, right?
So Tressa, if they don't spend all 3.9 million for whatever reason, does that roll over to the next, or does it just get renewed?
That's a good question. I think it rolls over, but I'm gonna have to double check on that.
Yeah,
we'll just stay on and make sure they get it.
Yeah, spend every dime.
I was gonna say, hopefully we just keep going and use it up.
Is he a consultant?
No.
So we've already done public comments. So sorry, Sarvesh, we don't have an option for a public comment at this time. If you want to put something in the chat box, then maybe somebody can whisper in my ear and we can figure out if we can answer your question. Any other comments before we let Ryan explain his yellows?
Yeah.
All right, let's
go to the yellows. These are the first two. I didn't forget about this slide. Just so y'all know, rural areas, City of Troy and City of Hillsborough, we did get signed acknowledgement from them saying that they are interested in us performing the study. And we talked to them extensively about the scope. They approved the scope of work. They're happy with it. I think City of Troy even got City Council to approve theirs. So we're good to go with them, and I guess Ed will get started on those two. But again, master drainage plans, we'll study the whole watershed and develop at least one project for each city based off of the flood risk analysis that we do. But they'll also have the modeling and the mapping for them to use. It's really good, too, because it's on the I-35 corridor. We projected a lot of growth. And so they both expressed that, saying this is really good. We've got developers coming in. We don't know what our flood risk is. And so these models and maps will help them to help regulate development coming into the future, which is kind of one of our goals with all of this. So I think it's all going to turn out really well for these two.
Will you back up one slide real quick? Mm-hmm. Just want to. So the question was, why are things grayed out? So that those were specifically in this case targeting rural dollars, and so it's not grayed like it's great. I guess it is grayed because it's not applicable. In the case of Williamson County and the northern county up there, it's because those are urban areas, and so they're not eligible for rural dollars. So that was the question that we got in the chat was the whole county's been designated as urban. So there's just limited options there. And then the few pink scattered areas that are rural in Williamson County just didn't rank high enough this time to make right. it. So go right. ahead.
Okay. Next one. So the three that I highlighted, these are all county road improvements. These were all submitted with the amendment, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe.
Road improvements meaning like bridges or culverts or actually roads?
Okay. Bridges and culverts. We didn't get very good feedback. Falls County did respond, but they never officially said we're interested. Again, we're not starting these yet, so y'all can take the response however y'all want. I just want to highlight these, though, because they're small projects. They're kind of on the fringe of a regional project. It's just a single culvert or a single road crossing. And the fees are pretty low, too. We're talking about $85,000 is what we estimate roughly to do the hydrology and hydraulics for those. So I don't know if this is something that y'all wanted to exclude from the list or go ahead and include it. Again, the goal is to get an FMP out of these. I get a project out of these. And since it's on the threshold of whether it might qualify for a project or not, I don't know. I don't know enough. I wasn't able to talk to them about the specifics. Lee, you might have a little bit better understanding of the specifics. If you go to the next slide, I tried to do my own little research on each one. County Road 462 in Falls County is a gravel road with a culvert. It's actually on the TxDOT Rural Transportation Improvement Plan, but I looked into that and it's like really confusing about, I think there's actually confusion on TxDOT if this is the right road or not. But again, I reached out to them. They're like, yeah, we're interested, but they never confirmed. They never got on a call with us to explain what exactly they wanted to do here. But it looks like a culvert improvement or a bridge improvement. Alam County, same thing. Brushy Creek at FM 46. This is a TxDOT road, is my understanding, with it being FM. So really, I think TxDOT could do this study if they ever wanted to come through and improve this. But it was something that the county submitted. Again, didn't get a response from them. And then City of Bartlett, I couldn't understand the specifics on this one either. I looked at the location. They obviously have storm sewer issues in their city here, but it looks so small that it would never qualify for an FMP. And it's just a storm sewer project. I try to get them on the phone to see if there's something bigger that could be incorporated into this, but I don't know. So this man may not even.
It seems like a struggle to make
a project of it.
I mean, I could see where a singular culvert was raining. A square mile, and it could be something. And
it major thoroughfares. It has a big service area. If you cut off a transportation route for emergency vehicles, and the service area gets really big. So, but those are just things we weren't able to look into, and we didn't get any information from them. So these are up to y'all if y'all want to include
Where did they come from? How did they show up on your radar screen to begin with?
They were submitted by the county and the cities. I think Lee helped us with that coordination.
Yeah, they're from previous studies, riverine studies, 1D studies, that they've just been identified as the high flood risk areas, and just a conceptual way to address it.
On the City of Bartlett, do you happen to know if it was anything bigger than what's being shown here in this intersection?
The study extends a little bit beyond, beyond just this intersection, but I would have to look into a little bit more on the one square mile too. I would be concerned on the Bartlett one specifically in downtown, if that's going to meet that size requirement.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts, and maybe our county rep can speak to this, about should the county really be sponsoring, or should TxDOT be like the coordination to go fix a TxDOT road? It's not like the county can do it on their own.
Yeah, there's the coordinator at TxDOT. I'm sure they can provide the.
And so, who are you helping? And it just seems complex. Go ahead, Ruth.
Yeah. So I was just wondering if, especially in the first two, do you know if the improvements are mainly for flood issues upstream, downstream, or is it for transportation issues at the crossing?
I don't know.
Is that clear?
So, it's not clear. I'm assuming it's all the way it's described. It's drainage related, but I think there's probably going to be a dual component. Well, like on the gravel one, I was kind of inferring they may want to raise the road up and try to raise that profile, which would include repaving. So they'll kind of go together. But
you have to go with, if it's a gravel road, how many people are really traveling this thing and are at risk generally?
Well, the thing that's interesting about this one is that it's on the TxDOT Rural Transportation Improvement Plan, which is dedicated funding for in improving transportation in rural areas. But it's a dirt road, and I think they misidentified it. So I don't know.
Or they feel like they need to upgrade it to paving.
Potentially. But if that's a county road, that TxDOT is willing to fund. Okay. So that's interesting. The second one, I think, is the TxDOT road that the county wants improved. So I don't know. I was trying to get more.
Seems like at a minimum, these would need asterisks and drop at the bottom. But look, Sujith, what did you want to add?
I basically concur. I think, let's drop them because they don't seem to be, I think, smaller stuff. If they provide any information, we can deal with them. But I think probably on the big picture, I don't see this.
Do y'all have any insight on it, this side? Or y'all guess as good as ours, I guess.
Yeah, and it's up to y'all.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Bartlett one for sure seems like, based on our criteria, it would really struggle. The hard part is, like, we don't know what we don't know. And so I don't know if we should put an asterisk and put them on the bottom of the list. And when, if and when Edge gets there, then they could get the rest of the information. And we may determine then that they don't qualify. And then we'll add more people to the list in the meantime.
Maybe disqualify later. Or be...
That's a great point.
So right now we're just going to check to make sure that each FME on the list meets y'all's criteria. So is that really the question, whether or not these...
Right, we don't know enough to know that they do, and, yeah, you know, we're kind of in this chicken and egg thing, right? We don't want to throw them out, but we don't know.
That's a great question. Okay. I think just based off of that, if we can't verify and you guys can't verify that they meet your own criteria, then that might be a deciding factor.
Christina, I see you wiggling up there.
Yeah. I agree with the Falls and the Milam County ones, especially since we're not sure who, we don't have enough information on the two of those. But for City of Bartlett, I think it needs to remain on the list. Just as someone who's been through this particular area, I think it's going to extend beyond just that intersection by the time you do the engineering for it. And then with everything else that they have going on over there, it might be something that'll qualify later, or as we go through and we're re-verifying before we enter into the agreements with them, it might be something then that comes off, but I don't think we should remove them from the possibility.
So
you go to the next. And so this is what we can vote on. And it's up to y'all. It sounds like all the three yellows and the, so 4, 11, 13, 14, and 15 would all drop to the bottom of the list is what I'm hearing.
Ish. Like, hold on.
But okay. Y'all.
Like, so we didn't really discuss 4, but so if we voted on a list today, Tressa, that's not all the money, is it acceptable in a year or so from now that we add to this list, or is this our one shot?
I think that you guys could come back and revise the list before...
I don't want anybody to think we don't have enough things to spend money on. We do. It's just we're either going to put some things on the list that maybe really shouldn't be on the list at the risk of somebody else. And so I don't know if we should vote placeholders and swap them out, or if we should vote it short and vote the ones that we really know. I mean, it's kind of whatever the board thinks will allow us to preserve our bucket of money.
On 11, 13, 14, if you remove those, you would still hit the 3.9 million budget. So, because they're just a little fee.
And is there any thoughts on Mark? Do you know anything about Mark?
I haven't been in touch with them lately, but I would expect that if I can get in touch with them, they would want to go forward with it.
Are they big enough? Like, we don't think, I mean, it's a drainage master plan, so we don't worry about size or anything like that, right? Okay.
Same as City of West.
Both, yeah, Mart and West. I mean, I sat down and talked with them about it in person, and the only change is that now it's free. So I would expect that they would still be interested. But the communication issues, I'm not necessarily surprised about that, and I think I could help.
Yeah, and I think once we get Edge involved so that you could do one set of introductions, I think it would be – so they don't have to, you know, go through the process.
Yeah, I didn't know that – they hadn't responded yet, so I would have contacted them, but also right during this time, it might be best to wait just a minute.
Okay, so there's kind of multiple discussions out there. I've heard like drop 11, 13, 14. It doesn't sound like any of us are too paranoid about the fact just because we haven't heard from somebody. Again, these aren't no to the project, it's just non-responsive, so we'll update any future graphics. But I think the options are that we drop 11, 13, 14, either all of them or some of them either completely off the list, or do we just downrank them so they're at the bottom of the list?
Well, and they're not completely dropped out of the plan. They're just dropped off of the prioritization to be performed free by the state.
Correct.
So those entities can still go out and perform those at their,
right,
on their own. It's just that they aren't being prioritized to be done.
And to Ryan's point, like, we're probably going to run out of money before we get to them, whether they're on the list or not. So
maybe
maybe
we, like I said, we try to be a little bit conservative on our cost estimates.
Yeah.
If Edge comes back higher, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, they're running like 30 EITs over there. They can get coffee. So, Gene, do you have something else to add before maybe we try to make a motion?
Yeah, I think I would like to see four also dropped off because there was no response. If they do, we can bring it back. But I think, you know, if you're doing 11, 13, 14, we have to add four also.
Well, four is a different kind of project. We're not concerned that four won't make the minimum criteria. It's just we haven't heard from them. The issue with 11, 13, and 14 is we're not even sure they meet that minimum one square mile and some of the other issues. So I do think it's a little bit different, which is why he's not yellow. Anybody else, any other comments before I call for a motion and we see if we can move on?
I have a quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Tristan.
I have two responses to y'all. So yes, if funds are not used for the cycle, transfer to the next for the FME.
Mm-hmm.
You will have up until the draft plan is submitted to revise your FME list. After that, we would need to wait until the final plan came out, then you would have to amend the plan.
Does either one of you know off the top of your head approximately when that is?
It's March
26, 2027. Okay. So if y'all could hear what Tressa was saying, basically we have till March next year to revise this list. So again, anybody who's hanging on the bottom is probably not even going to get visited before then. So I think maybe less critical of how we handle those. So with that, did we cover both yours?
Yes, but I do want to say again, when you do submit the list, we'll be checking to verify that it meets your criteria. So
yeah. Okay. All right. With that, I will take a motion. Anybody wants to make a motion on the 5B list in some version as presented? Anybody want to take a stab at that?
This is Sujit. Are we looking at four? We're going to leave it, right?
I think we're going to leave four is what I'm getting some head nods on.
Okay. I move that 11, 13, 14 be dropped to the bottom and approve the rest of them.
Okay. So I think so. Approve them all, but 11, 13, and 14 would be the lowest priority.
Correct.
Okay. So Sujit makes a motion to adopt the list as presented with the amendment that 11, 13, and 14 are become the lowest priority. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Mark Vogler.
I got a second from Mark. All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand. Any opposed? I don't see any opposition. So it was unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Look forward to getting those guys moving.
Yep, so that finishes that out. We're going to submit these lists to the development board, and they're going to review it, and we're going to go and get started on the top three FMEs that are for the RFPG to complete. So those are the next things. Next slide, finish out. So we are proposing to have a meeting in May and then July. So in May, we'll bring those chapters 2 and 3 for y'all to review and provide any comments back to us. We'll give y'all an update. Every time we meet, we'll get an update on the 4C of what kind of progress we're making on these studies. And then we will start task 5A with y'all in May as well to come up with some criteria, like one square mile, that kind of stuff, or which FMXs we'll recommend to be included in the regional flood plan. And then July, we will hopefully vote on task 5A, those final recommendations of FMXs, and then introduce task 7 and 8 at that time. That's looking ahead, and that's all I've got.
Any other questions for Ryan before we move on? Seeing none? All right.